Radio.
The Father's Love, a talk by Thomas Juszczak at the Mercy Retreat held at St John's Parish in Mullumbimby, New South Wales.
Okay, so the Father's Love. I think as I was coming up here, I saw that image, and I think that's probably one of the most beautiful images of the Father's love that we have. You know, the son that comes back, the prodigal son, and the father just welcomes him with open arms and just loves him. I'll start by saying, you know, we hear God is love. Who's heard that God is love? Plenty of times. I've heard it so many times that sometimes when I hear it, it goes one in one ear, out the other. We know that God is love. God is loving Father. And God's being is love. But how does that being come into action in our lives? And that is through mercy. I heard a saying, God is love and God does mercy. Because love in and of itself is a being, but the way he acts that out on us is through mercy. And I want to thank Anthony for sharing everything he did before. It was really beautiful. Because sometimes it's very hard to understand God as loving Father if you have a bit of resentment or a few wounds with your own father. You know, imagine you have a lot of wounds with your father and someone says, hey, God loves you like a father. How would you think that love is actually in your life? So it's very difficult. But what I'm going to do today is I want to speak about just very briefly four ways or four points that I learned about how the Father's love looks in my life through my own experience. And so before I start sharing these four points, I'm going to share something pretty cool with all of you all about my life. My wife is currently pregnant with our first child. Isn't that cool? I'm not supposed to be telling people, so keep it quiet. But we've got a meeting with the obstetrician on Tuesday, and she wanted to, you know, tell people after that, so, you know, don't go on Facebook and start congratulating her or anything. But there is a point to it, you know. I didn't want to tell you just because it's a cool thing. There is a point. But she's 10 and a half weeks pregnant at the moment. And so, you know, I've been a father for 10 and a half weeks. And in that very short amount of time, I've learned four really big things about God the Father. And it's related to that. So I'm going to share that with you as I go along. The first thing I learned is that sometimes a fatherly love seems or looks like punishment to us. Sarah and I have been married for just over 3 years. And we were actually trying to have a baby for 2.5 years, and we couldn't. And so there was a lot of pain there, a lot of woundedness. And you can imagine there were times where both Sarah and I thought, are we being punished for something here? You know, why are you doing this, God? We were angry at points, we were upset. We went through a lot of hard times, and we thought, you know, we knew God was loving Father. We trusted that. We knew God loved us, but sometimes we thought, does he really love us like a father? And you know, when you're in that position, you can't understand it because you're like, oh, you're going through a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. But sometimes when you're on the other side, it's easier for you to understand. And I'll give a quick example of the other side first. A lot of the parents here will know this one and understand it. There's a guy that goes around speaking. His name's Jason Ever. He's fantastic. I'm going to share one of his stories because it's pretty hilarious, but it shows the point I'm trying to make. One time as a dad, he came downstairs and he's got like 5 little kids, and he comes downstairs and the house is just dead silence. So parents, what does that mean when you've got kids and the house is dead silence? That's right. It means something illegal is happening with the kids, right? And so he knew that and he's like, all right, what's going on? And he saw this chair right outside the refrigerator, and the top freezer was completely open and the massive tub of ice cream missing. And so he's like, I know who this is. And he goes searching for his son. I think his name is Colby. And he finds him under this little, what's it called? One of the little cubby houses, right? And he's just stuffing his face with this ice cream. And he sees his dad and he starts going quicker, right? Eating. And he's like, he gets him by the ankle and he's dragging him out. And as he's dragging him out, he's still eating more. And he goes, give me that. And then his son says to him, "Oh, Dad, you don't love me." And he goes, "What?" He goes, "You're lactose intolerant." He goes, "If you ate that ice cream, you'd be on the toilet for a week." He goes, "Of course I love you." And so the child at that moment, where his dad took his ice cream off him because that's what he wanted, and his dad took it away, he thought, "You don't love me. You're punishing me. Why?" But what his dad was actually doing was showing love and mercy to him, because he knew that if he allowed him to do something he wanted to do, it was going to be really bad for him. And so what the child thought was punishment was actually an act of love and an act of mercy. And I experienced this and I realized this later on when through this period where Sarah and I were not able to have a child, because in this period we developed so many other graces to be able to love one another and support one another in different ways, which would not have happened had we not gone through that. I remember that we were able to support each other in the pain, and really we were able to develop a love for each other that didn't exist beforehand, and that wouldn't have been able to exist without that. We also were able to help heal each other from even like feelings of jealousy. You know, at the time we were going through this, all of Sarah's friends were being pregnant for the first time, and you can imagine it's not an easy thing. And so I had to really learn what it meant to be a comforting figure to my wife, you know, in that time, and vice versa. And so we were able to do that for one another, and we really felt the love of the Father through this. So what we thought was a punishment was actually a bit of a gift from God, in a way that we could feel the love of the Father in our lives. So the first point, sometimes the love of the Father feels like a punishment when it's not. Second point is this: God, through His love, as loving Father, wants the best for us and wants salvation for us. And so sometimes when He does things, He does it for that purpose. And this is one of the things I learned as well, because He challenged us in this period in ways we never thought. Throughout these 2.5 years, we were obviously looking at, other possibilities and what we were called to. We thought maybe we're not called to be biological parents. Maybe we're called to adopt. Maybe we're called to look after kids in other ways. And we even thought about fostering children. And this was a big thing, because for me, I thought, you know, adopting a child is something I could do. That would make sense, you know. But fostering was always a thing for me where I'm like, I couldn't do that, because it's in a sense, you know, you look after a child, but then you have to give him back, and you know that in the end. And it was very, very tough for me to come around to that. But we were considering it. We had to consider the options. There were problems, and we even went on treatment for a while. But I'll discuss a bit of that later. But the point was, it was a real gift, because what I learned about the loving Father is He challenged me in this way, where had we had a child, never in our lives would we have thought of fostering children, for example. But by the end of it, we had such an openness to fostering children that we had actually decided, you know what, we will one day if God's calling us. Even though we would never have thought about it before, God challenged us to come out of ourselves even more in this way, where we were able to say, and I said to Sarah that I think we might be called to this. I'm going to speak about the third point, and it'll sort of link in a bit. The third point is that I learned about God the Father is that the Father's love is sacrificial and self-giving. Now, a big turning point for me in this whole thing was actually a talk that Paul gave a few months ago on Saint Joseph. He gave a beautiful talk on the Feast of Saint Joseph, and about Saint Joseph as father, and his fatherhood, and his love for Mary, and his fidelity and chastity and everything, right? And it was such a beautiful talk. It really inspired me. And I thought, you know, one of the things Paul talked about was how Joseph was essentially an adoptive father or a foster father. He was not a biological father. He was an adoptive or a foster father. You could say foster father, because he knew who the real father was, and he knew he had to give him back by the end. And so that really inspired me. And that was the clincher for me, where I sort of said, Lord, I'm open to this. You know, if you want me to to be this type of father, then I will be. And so I in a sense did the same thing, and later that night after the talk I went downstairs to adoration, and I realized this later, but it was at St. Joseph's Church, and I really prayed from the bottom of my heart, and I said, St. Joseph, you know, I said, I want you to be my role model. And I said, I give you my fatherhood. And really I was giving it to God through St. Joseph. But I said, look, I'm giving you my fatherhood. Whatever way you are calling me to this fatherhood is what I'll do. And so I learned that is what the love of the Father is. It is self-giving. This wasn't my gift for myself, this fatherhood. It was a gift given to me by God. And I was merely giving it back to him and saying, look, this is yours and I give it to you, and you do with it what you will. And that was the moment where I knew, and I really meant it. I really meant it in this prayer. And God shows that to us in the ultimate way through the cross. You know, the reading today in church was one of the most beautiful. It was talking about the love of the Father. And it was also saying how no greater love has a man for another than to give up his life for his friends. And that's the type of self-giving love that God has for us. That's the love of a father that gives himself up completely for others, for his children. And so I learned that in a very beautiful way. And the fourth point I want to talk about is the fact that loving father is forgiving and is merciful. The love of the Father. It is just pure mercy, pure forgiveness, and pure love. Throughout this time, I thought maybe because of my past mistakes and whatnot, maybe that was a reason why I wasn't able to be a father. I'm going back further here now. And I thought, you know, I was really asking for God's mercy in this thing. But one thing I learned through this was that once we found out that we were going to have a child, it was beautiful because we found out we were having a child on what we call our liturgical anniversary. For us, when we got married, we got married on the Saturday before Divine Mercy Sunday for a reason, you know. We had a devotion to JP2. He died on the Saturday before Divine Mercy Sunday on the eve. So he celebrated Divine Mercy Sunday Mass. Divine Mercy was a big thing for us. And so we got married on that day. And 3 years later, on the Saturday before Divine Mercy Sunday was the day Sarah found out she was pregnant. And so for us, we knew that was the mercy of God working in our lives. It was no coincidence here, you know. Where everything that Paul told you about divine mercy is true. I mean, it was a real miracle. And when we went to the doctor afterwards, a few days later, they looked at her chart and worked out, yep, so the actual time of conception would have been the 19th of March, which was the Feast of St. Joseph, the same night that I actually gave my fatherhood to Joseph. And so it was no coincidence for me. When the doctor said that, I looked up 19th of March, and it was that same day. And so I really understood what the mercy of the Father meant, what the love of the Father is at that moment, and through this whole sort of process of going through what I went through. So, you know, the Lord loves to work miracles in our lives, and He does. And I don't know what's going ahead, but it was funny because on that day, before Sarah told me she was pregnant on that Saturday, I told her, I said, Sarah, I've made the decision. I really think we need to look into fostering children. I think maybe we're called to that. And then she said, I think so too, and then told me the news. But we both said that this is something we still want to follow up because we still feel it's a call God's given us, despite the beautiful gift He's given us as well. And so it's almost like we went through all that so that God could open us up to this new form of love in order that we could follow that as well. So that's where we're at the moment with all this, but I really understood what the love of the Father meant because You know, sometimes we think, you know, so many times we hear, oh, it's a real blessing to have children, and it is a blessing to have children, but it's also a blessing not to have children. Everything God gives us, we have to understand, is a blessing. You know, because then when we receive a child or whatnot, we know that that's a real gift. Because one thing that Paul mentioned earlier, which is true about the love of the Father and has to do with mercy, is this, that it's undeserved. Mercy is undeserved. Gifts are undeserved. There is nothing you can do to make the Father love you more. And there's nothing you can do to make Him love you less, because His love is not something that we deserve. And it's not something that we can win. And in this, I thought, maybe I can win the Father if I pray more or do this or do this. It's undeserved. The love of the Father is something that is always with us, and He loves Saint Francis and Mary and everyone just as much as He loved Hitler and everyone else. There is no difference between the Father's love for anyone. The difference is how much we accept that love in our lives. Even St. John the Beloved, he was called the Beloved because Jesus loved him most. It's not that Jesus loved him more than anyone else. He loved him the same that he loved everyone else, but John was able to accept that love more than anyone else. That was the difference. And that's how it works here. So God loves you as much as He loves His mother Mary. I guarantee you that. It's just that Mary was the complete 100% acceptance of all of that. And so we just got to try to do our best. And I'll give you an example of how this mercy worked. I've shared this story with a couple of people, but I think it's beautiful. I got a letter recently from a sister friend of ours. She's a sister of life in New York. And she was sharing in regards to World Youth Day this beautiful story of mercy from Poland back in World War II. So there was a man who was in charge of Auschwitz concentration camp. Everyone knows what that is? And he was the man in charge. So he was the one that was doing scientific experiments on the Jews, just horrible torture. And he was going through all of this, right? And his name was Rudolf Hoss. His name was Rudolf Hoss. And so he was the big man, basically. He had no mercy on anything. He was killing, torturing, experimenting, everything like that. And one time, a Jesuit priest in Poland came back to his community and he realized they were all gone. What had happened was they were all rounded up and taken to the concentration camp. And so he said, he was a provincial, and so he said, look, this is my community, I can't be away from them. And so he actually tried to get into Auschwitz, but like around the back somehow, to be in solidarity with his community. And he managed to get in. But they caught him, and they took him to Hoss, and Hoss, instead of killing him, just said, no, get this guy out of my face. What's he doing here, you know? Get rid of him. And so they threw him out, and Hoss actually killed and tortured his whole community. So he knew, whereas this guy was able to live. Anyway, fast forward to the end of the war, and this guy ended up being caught, taken to the Nuremberg trials. He was such a psychopath at the time that the judge said, look, there is zero remorse coming from this man. And so he was one of the few that got sentenced to capital punishment, to death, basically in 1 month. And he was quite afraid of death, but what he was more afraid of was the 1 month until his death, because he was in a Polish prison. And he thought, I don't know what the guards are going to do to me, because they all know what he used to do to prisoners in Auschwitz. And so he was very afraid. But what happened was the guards there treated him with dignity, treated him with respect, treated him like a human. And so for the first time in his life, I don't know how it happened, but through this treatment that he received, he was a baptized Christian. And so he thought, I want to speak to a priest. Right, the love of these other people for him, he started to convert. And this was someone who's had no remorse, remember, sentenced to death. And so at the time, a lot of the Polish priests who would come didn't know how to speak German, and some of the ones who did said, look, it's too soon, I can't see this guy. Like, everyone knew what he had done, and he's like, I can't do it. And so he remembered this one Jesuit priest, and he said, I want this guy. And this Jesuit priest was actually servicing the Maria Faustina sisters in Krakow. She had just died a year or two earlier, and he was at, like, right next to a burial servicing those sisters, and he said, yes, I'll come. So he came, and the guard would say that for those, for 3 hours, he had a confession, and he confessed everything, bawling his eyes out for hours. And this priest heard his confession, and he absolved him from his sins. And then he came back the next day, the priest. But this time, he came with Jesus. And he gave this guy communion. And the guard said that this guy was just bawling his eyes out when he received Christ, right before he died. And before he died, he wrote a letter to the Polish people, apologizing for everything he had done, asking for forgiveness, and praising the Lord. And then he died. And so the line that Paul had written about mercy yesterday, that even the most hardened sinner, if he asks for my mercy, will receive it. I mean, what better example of that is that? I mean, this guy was almost worse than Hitler because he was torturing it all and he was doing it from his own hands. Hitler at least never did it on his own hands. This guy did. And he was able to convert because of the people and because of the love and mercy shown. And so I just want to end by sort of saying that the love of the Father is exactly that. It's a love that loves children no matter what. We don't love children because they're good to us. That's not why we love our children. We love them because they're our children. And God's the same. But His love never wanes. He doesn't love us because we do good things for Him or we pray a lot or anything like that. He loves us. There's a quote here that J.P. 2 wrote, "We are not the sum of our weaknesses and failures. We are the sum of the Father's love for us and our capacity to be the image of His Son." I know that quote because I heard it live because it was at World Youth Day in Toronto when I was there with JP2. And it's a beautiful quote because what it's saying is, I don't love you because you're worth heaps to me because of what you do. You're worth so much to me because you're my child. Simple as that. And that's all we need to be loved by God. And all of us already have that because we're His children.
That was Thomas Shirschak with The Father's Love. For more from the Immaculata community, visit cradio.org.au.